The war in Afghanistan is one of the many foreign policy issues presidential candidates need to be versed in, and vice presidential candidates as well. Yesterday, Republican vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin sat down with Afghan President Hamid Karzai. It was one of several sit-downs Palin is having this week at the UN General Assembly in New York with various heads of state. The media have been portraying the sessions as Palin's crash course in world affairs. It all speaks to Palin's relative inexperience in foreign affairs and about the changing nature of the vice presidency. The World's Katie Clark reports.
While serving as Franklin Roosevelt's second in command, John Nance Garner famously declared that the office of vice president wasn't worth a bucket of warm spit. During the Reagan administration, then Vice President George H.W. Bush's staff spent so much time attending state funerals that they coined the private motto, "They die, we fly." John Hughes served as an assistant secretary of state during those years.
Much of the time, the vice president had a ceremonial function. And when I was in the State Department, we had three Russian leaders die. In each case, the president sent the vice president, and off we all went to Moscow. They all died in the middle of winter, and there we all froze on Red Square.
But since the end of the Cold War and 9/11, we've seen the role of vice president grow. Daniel Pletka says that's a good thing. Pletka is vice president for foreign and defense policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute.
We want senior officials in our government to be key to our national security. As the challenges have evolved, as well as we see a diversity of threats on the horizon, it's not just the Soviet Union that we're talking about. It really is, you know, a whole variety of different things: Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq. We want to have more senior people engaged.
But that means vice presidential candidates are also coming under greater scrutiny. Some argue Sarah Palin's been unfairly criticized for not knowing much about world affairs. They say Barack Obama's lack of foreign policy credentials is even more troubling. Kathleen Hall Jamieson runs the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. She says women candidates for high office have always been held to different standards than men. Geraldine Ferraro in 1984, for instance, was asked if she's tough enough to press the nuclear button. Jamieson says the McCain camp is partly to blame for the attention on Palin's foreign policy experience.
The McCain campaign has made salient the category commander-in-chief in a way that has made that credential more important for every candidate.
Then there's the sharp contrast between Sarah Palin's experience and that of her Democratic rival. Joe Biden is a veteran foreign policy hand who can boast of being on a first-name basis with many heads of state. Here's Biden speaking today during a campaign stop in Cincinnati. He was discussing the recent fighting in the former Soviet state of Georgia.
When Russia invaded Georgia, an independent country, I got a call from Misha Shakashvili, the president, and said, "Joe, will you come over?"
Danielle Pletka of the American Enterprise Institute maintains that a familiarity with world leaders and world affairs never has been the be-all or end-all when it comes to judging leadership ability.
Our president and our vice president are not only about foreign policy. Their prime responsibility is to be the representative of the American people, and most of the American people are not waking up in the morning and thinking about foreign policy and national security matters. They're waking up in the morning and thinking about taxes and jobs and agriculture and school systems and all those sorts of things that occupy normal people's everyday lives.
Some would argue that for those who are responsible for the bigger picture things like world peace, it helps to at least have some background on the issues. For instance, when the White House finds itself in a tough spot with Russia, understanding the history between Washington and Moscow can put a president or vice president in a better position to act. For The World, this is Katie Clark.